5, 4, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff.
What a beautiful song. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and I am so incredibly delighted that you guys are all here. This is our New Year's Eve show, and it's becoming our we're creating a tradition around here in these parts that we do our New Year's Eve. Yes, in this neck of the woods, we are creating true self-empowerment, utilizing the radio waves to do that. It's going to be an amazing show. We have tons of things to introduce. So first and foremost, it would not be the amazing show it is without my enchanting co-host, Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi. Hello, everybody. Hi, Goldie. Yeah, you know, I'm beaming because anyone who listened to the song, that was my son, Zach Kimmel, who has the voice of an amazing singer. And so Goldie and I were so excited to have it open the show today. He's making an album, and he's got many beautiful love songs, but that one just felt like such a great way to open up the show. And it was produced and written. It was produced and written by George Carr. I just want to give him credit. And
okay.
And Zach, you know, we'll keep you updated. But Zach, as I was telling Goldie, why I'm beaming, but Zach really has the clout to sing that song. Those soul words, those love words, completely come out of him, and you can feel it. You know, this is not just he delivers in a way that impresses the producers, and so it's really fun because. For anyone listening, it was the first time it's ever been played to the public. And
debuted on our show. That is hot.
And how beautiful! And how beautiful that the day is unfolding, just like my vows will prove that that I found the CD like stuck in the seat of my car. And I was like, where'd this come from? And then I listened to it, and I was so excited that I texted him in California and said, do I have permission to use this on the show today? And he texted back, yes, go ahead. And then Goldie, and it all fell into place beautifully, as it seems like that's how everything is occurring
okay,
for me.
Okay, but I have to interrupt just for a second.
Yeah.
It's not Luriel from Denmark is here. She's calling in. Let's get her on the air so she can say what she has to say, because it's costing her a small fortune. Luriel, we have you, sweetheart. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Very good.
How beautiful.
I know. I just saw her name. I got all excited when I saw you.
Well, that's incredible and so perfect, and she can put her waves out there.
Yes, Luriel, did you write a vow to connect yourself? You know, to do a ceremony to marry yourself.
To marry myself? Yes. But it's long ago, you know.
That's okay. Would you like to read it or say it?
What? Try again.
Are you saying what? I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you right.
Okay. Can you not hear me?
I can. Yeah, I'll make my earphones are louder. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Okay. You say let me have it again.
Oh, say it
okay,
again,
well,
Goldie.
I'm inviting you if you want to share a vow of connection to you and your soul, that by sharing it on the radio will amplify that intention. In quality, in intensity, in time, speed, in space. You know, we're utilizing the radio to basically, you know, assist ourselves in getting to wherever it is, you know, that brings us joy and happiness.
Okay. But I think I should listen a little because I was out of the show when I did make the call. So if you just go on, I will come in again.
Oh, okay. So I was afraid that this was costing you a lot of money, and I didn't know if you wanted to come. I see what you're saying. Okay, so you want me? We'll go on with the show, and I'll come back to you. Is that what you'd like?
Yes.
You got it. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold. I love you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad to hear your voice. All right, love.
That's exciting.
Okay.
That's
exciting. Yeah. I saw her name. New Year's Eve, anything goes.
That's probably already New Year's Day there. So
yeah,
I don't know
if it's tomorrow there. Yes, it could very well could be. Exactly.
It's tomorrow there today. Yeah, so today, you know, I find that CD and then it just kind of unfolds so beautifully. And then this morning I was writing something about I was going to write on Facebook and I kind of like screwed up the words. So I went, I like wrote part of it. It was about a message from the great blue heron. And then, you know, I kind of didn't, I forgot like a word and I was like, and I tried to edit and I couldn't, but the funny thing is all day the great blue heron has been sitting out by the house, and I was like, wow, it's like he heard me or something, or you know, he's like, I'm here, Jay, I'm here. So
nice.
it's just been one of those fun days where I was anticipating the show for all its specialness and you know, just the timing of it all, and then just being able to play my son's song, which just topped it off as special. So that's
right
all.
On.
Yeah.
Well, it's
yeah.
a beautiful song. And just so everybody knows, there's, you know, we're going to play the song as our opening. And then, you know, if it works out, we're going to, you know, correlate the song into an opening where we actually have an announcer, you know, a professional voiceover guy who makes these, you know, intros and outros for shows. But in the meantime, you know, You, Me, and Love, that is, you know, the new intro song to the Mystical Mother Earth show, because it really encompasses everything we're here to express, and it does it so beautifully. And
yeah,
it's Janine's
yeah.
son, you know, it's all in the family. It just doesn't get better than that. I mean, and come on, guys, doesn't he sound like Michael Jackson? I was like, I mean, as soon as Janine sent me the song over today, I must have listened to it 20 times. In fact, when I wrote my vow for today, I was listening to the song because it really moved me. The first time I heard it, you know, it brought chills to my body and tears to my eyes. And, you know, it just felt very, I felt very blessed. In the presence
yeah,
of your son
you.
Singing, truly, you're welcome,
and
thank you.
And me
thank
too.
You Zach.
And me too.
Yeah.
So
we have an amazing show. That's just one of the amazing things that are here. And I want everybody to know, you know, anytime you guys want to, me and Janine are we'll start the show. We'll share our vows. And anytime you guys want to share a vow, whatever. If me and Janine are talking, we'll pause. I'll pick up the phone, and everybody's welcome within the next 2 hours, or an hour and 45 minutes, to share their vow anytime they want. So I'm very curious about Janine. So, Janine, can you step
yeah.
up to the podium?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, last year I was, as Goldie said, probably short and but accurate, and I'm probably the same this year. So this is what I wrote. To be witnessed like this by all of you is a gift of a moment, but that moment will extend beyond all perceived boundaries and go on forever, allowing my intentions to be amplified. This is a precious and valuable moment made possible in cooperation with the heart and genius of Golden Hawk and my contribution that occurs combined with her in a creative partnership and relationship, and I am so grateful and gushing with love for that. and now this is the time when we both cry.
On cue.
For several years, but now, in capital letters, more than ever before, in an astounding way, I have been aware of a synchronistic flow, and in each unfolding day and night, there is a consistent and supportive, present, natural, and organic energy shifting and moving old belief systems, fostering my courage to confront my deepest fears and move through them, allowing for new understandings and insight and freedom. I want to state before all of you that I recognize this highly creative, supportive energy and my growing openness. I vow to keep this recognition and my openness and stay true to this process and to myself. These consistent experiences have given me a recent, subtle, calm confidence. I vow to hold sacred this subtle, calm confidence, and I vow to continue to do my creative, heartfelt part in this unfolding as I move deeper inward and outward simultaneously, gracefully, elegantly, and with a great touch of humor and imagination. Janine Leighton Kimmel.
Wow.
That's my vow.
That is outstanding.
Want me to read it again?
You know I do. It's so funny. I'm like a little kid, you know. Remember the Lifesaver commercial? Do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you want to read it again? You know, you said enough.
It feels very, like, accurate and focused, and
it was beautiful.
It's really it's like I've been thinking about it for weeks, and then, you know, kind of letting it be in me, and really the recognition of you and our relationship and your genius and your heart and what happens when we're on the show, it's been great. And I think truly that for so many years I've been recognizing the synchronicity, but now more than ever it's become so apparent that I wanted to verbally, you know, state it. I want it to be heard.
Right.
And it really does support my courage. And I'm impressed with my own process.
I love it. I love that you can say that on the air with no guilt. That is fantastic. That's what I want for all of us. All of us should be able to look at ourselves and go, I'm impressed with me. Because journey is this is no walk in the park.
It is
a walk in the park, but, you know.
Right. We highly recommend a walk in the park. Being moved to tears is just an indication that, like, you know, this was right for my heart.
You're such a beautiful space. You're such a beautiful presence.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I love working with you. Playing with you, growing with you, crying with you. I really do. You know, I'm so glad I had Janine go first, because I don't know how any of us are going to be able to, you know, let us not judge our work, right? All of us are just sharing.
Be impressed with yourself.
And remember, she's an author, everyone. She's a professional.
Back away, I'm a professional.
She's a professional. No, and of course, you know, there's going to be beauty. As long as everybody speaks from their heart,
yeah.
It can be three words, and it will bring just as much emotion, because
mm-hmm.
that is it is about the heart, you know.
The heart and our own genius, you know, that's why if you tap into your heart and your genius, which, you know, probably are one and the same in many ways, but, you know, you will be impressed you will be impressed with your process, because you will allow yourself to feel your true value. And I think that's the breakthrough.
Yeah.
That's the breakthrough, you know? And I dare anyone to say that.
Well, you know what's so funny? I drew a rune right before the show.
Yeah.
You know what I drew?
What?
Breakthrough.
Oh, cool.
That's the breakthrough.
That's
like,
the breakthrough.
Of course she's going to say it. Oh, there it is. Well, it's just, you're beautiful. This whole experience is beautiful. Okay, so I'd like to read mine.
Yes,
you, babe. Oh, you're what a pleasure. God, you know, I feel like, you know, I want to lay down my raincoat so you can step over a puddle on my I really am. If you're feeling that good about me, boy, you have, you know, does it get any better that we have a mutual admiration club that's genuinely admirable? You know, we love each other. It's just... And we go through dark spaces together. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that.
I know. It's good. It's good. It's why that
it's
song
really
is
good.
So great. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's hear
yours. Yeah. And to clarify, I had set an intention in December just to myself. I knew Janine was still going to Ireland and she was really busy. And I had set a silent intention to myself. I would love it if we had a new intro song to do for the New Year's Eve show.
Wow.
And what's so funny is,
isn't that fantastic?
Janine sends me the song today, and I laugh and go, I was like, no, I don't want to bother Janine. Oh, no, but we must include Janine because she's a part of the creative process, because she helped me make that intention come true. And it's a dream. It's a song that's original. Pardon?
And isn't it amazing that you put the intention in, like, the day of the show, a CD's in the crack of my car seat that I hadn't seen the whole time I've been back, and there it is. And I asked my son, and he says, yes, and then you have it. And there's your intention.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, that really is almost what I invite you to do with today's intentions. After you say your intention, release it and go into the trust that, you know, it will manifest. It cannot not manifest. We're creator beings. But it's not about holding on tight how it's going to look or feel or sound. It has so much to do with trust and, you know, trusting the flow and knowing when, you know, I mean, you know, because Janine was so cute when she first shared the song. She was like, listen, if you don't like the song, there's no pressure, you know, because it's her mm-hmm. son. So I just thought that alone was such a remarkable way to introduce me to the song that, you know, because without her saying that, of course, there's always the potential. I'm going to go, what if I don't like it? Oh, my God. That's Janine's son. Like, aren't I up a creek without a paddle now? But she immediately was like, if you don't like it, I'm cool with that. You know,
right.
and she wasn't saying that just to say that. She it was okay if we didn't use that for the opening. And this is the kind of self-esteem that comes from the independence of people doing the work. And and it's so fabulous to be around people who know this and practice this and walk this talk.
Mm.
So I'm very passionate about this. Okay, so here is mine. Mine has a different flavor, definitely from the heart, but a little more from the head, because that's just where Goldie comes from. Okay. I, Golden Hawk, am living in infinite trust. I am declaring my intention and attention to fully experiencing soul in every joy, every trigger, and every breakthrough that I encounter. I am nurturing my humane aspect through compassion, humility, and being self-centered. My pain and arrogance mystically carry me into limitation and fear, effortlessly integrating the darkness within me into my strength. I am manifesting a virtuous life of integrity, fortitude, and gratitude. I am living in the center of the paradox and experiencing the impossible.
Mm.
Golden Hawk.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Love. Thank you. Yeah.
Wow,
you know, it's
I
so
love
interesting.
That virtues.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Beautiful.
You know, the truth is, I'm not manifesting. I do not ever set an intention for a bigger income, more money.
Right,
and
right,
I'm telling
right.
you, I've been at the bottom where I'm not making that much. But it is always give me the strength to get through this. Give me the awareness. So if an opportunity does arise for me to make a dollar here and there, I'll have the awareness to jump on that opportunity. But it's not about stuff. It's about I want to live in integrity. I want to live in clarity. I want to because my whole goal is, you know, I'm here with Mother Earth, and my belief system truly has, you know, I know that not much happened, quote unquote, from a physical point of view on December 21st at the end of the Mayan calendar. But in my humble opinion, that doesn't mean that our planet is not on a trajectory to doing some very dramatic quantum changes. My relationship with Mother Earth, which is a very intimate and personal relationship, simply by the fact that I spend time in her. I spend time by myself in nature, basically has garnished me the wisdom that there is an end to the way things are. That is coming. The end to the way things are right now is coming. And to some it will appear as a death. and to some it will appear as a birth.
Right.
For me, you know, and that's not, you know, that is simply in the divine order of some people pray to get out of here and will die to do it. I mean, in other words, because it has also hit me that the absolute intelligence of life itself, the intelligence inherent in this flow we call life, is so vast that it's capable of giving every single person what they want, even if it's paradoxical to what the person sitting next to them wants. In other words, I want to go to and again, this is when I say what I want, I'm not talking about just what the personality is wishing for. I'm talking about what our souls have intention. Because we've talked about this throughout the shows of December that, you know, I wanted to birth a child, you know, pretty much since I've been 30. I'm 47 now. And I really understand that I didn't birth a child, but I'll be damned. Alana is the archetype of a daughter to me. And Anya and Sahana are clearly kids that I'm raising since they were babies, and I'm influencing their belief systems and how they see the world and how they experience the world. So I really get that, okay, a baby didn't come through my uterus, but that doesn't mean I'm not experiencing raising children, because I am. And so what I'm referencing here is that what our souls want for each and every one of us will be obtained perfectly. Perfectly.
Yeah.
So the whole point of tonight's show, or today's show, was to set the vow to align yourself with, if you align yourself with your soul, mm-hmm. now you're in the greatest and most effortless of ease and flow, because your soul has you on a trajectory. And if you can get in alignment with that, it just becomes... Well, it becomes an adventure instead of a nightmare.
Mm.
You can still be in the unknown. It's just not.
You're being a victim, and it's unwelcomed, and you're victimizing yourself, and you know. So you become an adventurer, not a victim, and you know. And I think that you really hit on exactly what my vow intention was that intelligence for all of us that's happening, that's supporting what we want and need and moving us in the direction of our aligning in our soul, by the very nature of recognizing it and stating that you recognize it, it also amplifies that it will become more and more palpable in your life. And that's really what my vow was, you know, that I just want it to be heard that I am saying that I recognize this, you know.
And
it just seemed important to me, you know, that it was said by myself.
Yeah,
right
on. I agree.
Yeah.
I
know that's what you're inviting people to do, you know.
Exactly.
Because it really does, it is just like this supportive, you know, and it's like it's yourself acting with self, but there's also, you know, this organic, natural, flowing timeline of the now time really working with us. You know, it's like...
Very much. As well as the amplification of, listen, my show gets heard by 1,000 people a week. I mean, so on some level, every person that's listening to the archives, it literally, your vow goes through them and becomes part of their experience, and who knows what the networking connections would come from that. You know, I mean, it's so limitless, and yet it's exciting. I'm very excited to, you know, that we do this show on New Year's Eve. I really am, because I have come to realize that a few weeks ago I played a show. Janine was exhausted right before she went to Ireland.
Oh, right.
And so I just picked the show out of the I picked. It was like, okay, what was a year ago from today? I'm just going to play the show that we played a year ago. And when I heard myself stating, you know, abundantly that I was going to live in the center of the paradox and do the impossible, I started tracking my life realizing that living in the center of the paradox is about taking my energetic system, what I've been conditioned to believe, like, so in one of the aspects is what I've been conditioned to believe is what a loving relationship looks like. I had conditions from my parents, from the school teachers, not really religion, because we weren't very religious, but I had all these examples, and the truth is, you know, they were dysfunctional, to say the least, what I was taught as a child. And I'm not blaming anybody for that. I'm just simply acknowledging what I believed was love and how I was going to obtain that. When it started coming down to me living those behaviors based on the system that I was taught, all equated to me feeling alone and isolated, insecure. It was like sex was a power, and it trumped love, and everything was manipulated. It didn't feel honest. There was a lot of, you know, lies and cheating. And the thing about living in the paradox and doing the impossible is I am 47 years old, and I am telling you with all honesty that I can muster in myself, I love differently today. I love very differently than what I was raised to as a child, and that's miraculous because in my loving differently, I experience way more love than was ever my experience doing it the way I was conditioned to do it. I all you have to do is look at, some of the things we've talked about over the upcoming month, you know, the months leading into the end of this year, which is like, you know, we can see how, you know, we glamorize, you know, being a rock star and being an actress and being a supermodel. But, you know, when you just take a very little bit of effort and start investigating the lives of these people that we're idolizing, they're a mess.
Yeah.
And they're in an industry that is extremely ugly. I mean, God knows the modeling industry is so corrupt against women. It's like it just takes women. It reminds me of the football industry, what they do to men. The beauty industry does to women. They just chew them up and spit them out. But it's glamorized. And it's like, boy, there's something much more glamorous about walking into the woods, you know, not in high heels, but in hiking boots, and not in a mini skirt, but in sweatpants and a flannel, and actually experiencing a sense of love that for me trumped every at that point, every human relationship I've ever had with love, I never felt love the way I have felt the love from the trees. I just never experienced that because it was constant, it was unconditional, and all I had to do was put myself in the woods and I would feel it. And it was like, you know, that's what I was promised from all the people and the conditioning, but the truth was I never got it. And now that I've rewired myself and taken the time to look within, every time I get triggered, it's not about figuring out why I got triggered. It's about figuring out, okay, that trigger means, like the perfect example. The other day I had a very interesting conversation with a dear friend of mine where I was just angry and calling him a hypocrite and telling, you know, saying, you know, saying some really harsh things to him. And his answer to me was so brilliant. It was just like, are you sure you're not projecting yourself onto me? And at the time I was like, I'm not, you know, shut up. Of course I hung up, and after being in such a trigger, after I slept on it, it was all about my own insecurity about not being congruent with what I say, who I am, and the actions that I'm taking. Because I'm constantly working to tighten my energetic system that everything's in congruency. What I say, what I do, what I believe, and what I feel are all exactly the same. And that is really quite a task, considering the environment we live in is working completely against us to do that.
Yeah.
It really is. The environment does not support the congruency of our soul. The environment supports the connection to projection,
yeah.
which is all the ego and what I've been referring to as the reptilian aspect of ourselves.
Yeah. No, even in the those fame industries where, you know, quick fame and crazy fame and outlandish wealth fame and, you know, that's all distortion, but it's all, you know, if people were really to look at that and, you know, like you said, examine it, it's not really that pretty. It's really, you know, just
it's
just
very
like,
ugly, actually.
Right.
Very.
So
yeah.
It's just
you wouldn't
bizarre.
Want to put your young girls in it,
or boys.
Wouldn't.
No, but it's just
or
this
boys,
young.
Right,
it's just
right.
this bizarre projection of something false. You know, so.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
That's exactly... And we've been conditioned to believe that it's this... I mean, all you have to do is... I watch the shows, the housewives shows. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've got to say it. There's the Housewives of Miami. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the show, but there is a mother of one of the housewives from Miami who has had so much plastic surgery. When you look at her... I swear to God, she has the look of some sort of, it reminds me of an animal. It's so artificial where she's been shaped and recut and nose jobs and lip job. And I look and I go, this just isn't beautiful to me. And in all honesty, but I can look at a very natural-looking woman without makeup and see total beauty in that. You know, it's more the artificial that is unbeautiful to me. Because
yeah.
I also wonder to myself, these women, most of them are absolutely gorgeous naturally, and then they start messing with themselves. It's like, well, wait, what? Wow.
No, you know, I mean,
that,
for me, it just shows you that... There are multiple realities going on because, you know, if you're, that's why I'm reinforcing, stating that the awareness and the noticing of the synchronistic, supportive, you were hoping for a song and, you know, five
right.
hours before
right.
the show it shows up. That's why I feel that recognizing those, they're not otherworldly. They're definitely of a certain reality if you're present in it and you're cognizant of it. You know, but these other distorted realities, I mean, they are to those people, they seem real. But, you know, it's not a reality that I'm attracted to or interested in. And it feels sort of, I want to say insane. And, you know, insane is kind of like, a good word to me, but this is not the kind of insane that I'm attracted to, you know? So,
right.
it's just for tonight.
Well, it's not life enhancing. That's part of its
that's
insanity.
That's for sure. It is. It's
yeah.
an insanity. And for tonight, that was where the real focus of my vow was, is to really acknowledge that this place where, you know, you would almost call it magical, but it's a definite reality that's here now. It's just, you got to do your part and be a part of it and, you know, be authentic and take risks and acknowledge your darkness and own your projections and, you know, do the work. And it's like, and
that's it.
You'll be
it
part of it. You'll be part of it, you know?
Well, because it is unbelievable when you own the darkness and, you will, because, you know, and I know me and Janine talk about this a lot, but God, it bears repeating because, again, these are very much, you know, what I would call, not anticlimactic, that's not what I'm, this goes against the instincts from the conditioning.
Right.
You know, the conditioning tells us run away from the pain, but that's the conditioning. So when you start going, okay, what would happen if I turn around? And when I say face the pain, and Janine says face the pain, you know, it's not even necessarily that you have to talk about this. It's literally just whatever pain's in your life, allow it to come back into your cells, come back into your heart, come back into your being, because, you know, what the pain really is, whether it's the pain of a trigger, the pain of a spouse, the pain of a child, the pain of a boss or somebody you work with, what those pains are aspects of self that need to come home. And once we allow that aspect to come home, the pain will literally take you into your holiness. Whole being, you're not fragmented. That pain is you coming back home, because where we are right now from a solar system point of view,
right,
we are in a different part of the Milky Way galaxy. We are more to the center. This is no joke. Like, where we are completely supports being whole and complete. And I would even beg to say, and in your center. And I would beg to say that it doesn't even take an intention to get it done. Really what the intention is to just be in congruency, because what it's going to do is take the conditioned you, which is basically upside down and inside out, and flip you back to right side up and right side out. And so there's going to be changes going on, but from the organic point of view, all you're really doing is coming back into your whole or holy self.
Right, right. Which
so
is
why would you fight that? You know,
right,
but
right.
Why would we fight that? Because it feels uncomfortable from where we've been for the last 26,000 years or whatever the, you know, whatever the, you know,
that's
the timeline is. Yeah, yeah.
No, that's really good.
Oh, thanks.
That it feels uncomfortable because we, because it's so, it's just so not where we've been. But you know, geographically, like literally, the placement of where we are now is completely aligning with helping us be in our center and whole and holy. You know, and
yes.
And it's so it's like.
Yes.
It's like, utilize it. You know, it's here, you know. And
like I said, I don't think you have a choice at this point, which is why it's so funny when, you know, I have a dear friend of mine who's going through, you know, a breakup, her and her boyfriend. And it's so interesting because when you have two people, one who does the inner work, and again, what is the inner work? She faces her shadow and takes it in and owns it and allows it to have an alchemical effect on her being. But, you know, when we're taking in our shadow side, you tend to, you know, it's not easy feeling our pain. Even if our pain is our own, it's still not easy to feel it. But when it's your journey to do so, there is no other journey. You do it. But
yeah.
But what's interesting is her boyfriend, who's been the trigger of a lot of her pain, see, it's because she's integrated the pain, and now she was attracted to him because he was bringing a piece of her back to him, a piece
right.
of her through him back to herself. Now that she's done the integration and they've been together 2.5 years, she's like, well, I'm kind of done. You know, and the way she knows she's done is I'm not attracted to this, you know, what I affectionately call a man who's just in. Living in a bitch fest. I mean, he's just bitching and complaining about everything. But whenever she brings up, well, what part of this do you own? He can't talk about it. How many of us know people that you just simply, you know, you see them complaining, you feel them in pain, you know that they're in pain, they're in confusion, they're unhappy. And the minute you guide the conversation towards doing the work within, which means ultimately saying, okay, the pain that I'm feeling is not because you did something. It's because it lives in me and it was triggered by something you did.
Exactly.
But it's ultimately mine. It's my pain. How many of us know people that the conversation stops there? And I say to myself, now that the universe, now that our solar system is in this part of the universe, you know, it really comes down to, I don't know how long a person can thrive and or I'm going to go as far to say and or live with that suppression and oppression of a natural thing, especially in this part of the universe. In this part of the universe, you don't have to meditate for 10 hours a day to get this done. You just simply have to accept that you have a shadow side. I mean, you don't even have to go to therapy. You just, because in the accepting of it, your body goes, okay, this piece is coming back home. You know, it's very much, the cells know how to fuse, and once they fuse, they become whole. And once they become whole, the whole awareness and perception of everything changes. Because the people who are doing the work, there is a consistency that we all have there's a calm presence and a confidence that we're not afraid right now.
Mm.
You know, and it's you have it, Janine. Alana has it. My friend Dennis has it. You know, it's like you can just really see that, you know, it's not hard to explain. It's just words sometimes don't even cut it, you know, because I'm involved with people who are not doing the work, who have all the money in the world, they have an amazing relationship, two amazing kids, and the truth is, they're suicidal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they have all the things from the material point of view, but because they don't know who they are in themselves, and they're not connected to the quote-unquote soul self, they have everything that, quote-unquote, the American dream is made out of, and they're suicidal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that really is the things that make you scratch and go, what's more important, that I have a lot of toys in my driveway? Or if that, you know, when I'm feeling sad, I recognize that as a piece of me. And, you know, think about how you love a friend or an animal when they're hurting. And why can't we love ourselves with the same tenderness, the same compassion that we would give to something outside of ourselves? Because I see us do it all the time with others. The one that always, you know, trips people up, at least from my perspective, is they don't know how to love themselves with the same compassion and the same tenderness.
Well, yes, and they also don't know how to read signals because of themselves, because they are their best teacher. And when you are that distraught,
absolutely,
that, you know, when you're so distraught that you wish, you know, I wasn't alive, or I'm that miserable, I have everything, and look at me, I'm still miserable. It's like, you know, exactly. It's like, because your higher self, your centered self, your greater self, your wisdom self is telling you, you know, it's time to grow. It's okay. And
right.
this is a good place. And yet it's all misread. It's all, the message just doesn't get completed. It's like all they get is half the message, which is I'm miserable. But the real message is, yeah, and I'm letting you know you're miserable so you can do something about it. Like, and that's the missed opportunity of the brilliance of ourselves. Because if someone
right.
comes to me and says, oh my God, you know, I'm giving myself all these messages about, you know, maybe I'd rather not be alive. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is a person that knows that on some level, metaphorically even, that there's the death of the old self is, it's time to let
that
go.
That's it, right on.
So,
yes.
So it's like this whole, like, you know, everybody goes, suicide. And it's like, if they could just hear what they're saying to themselves, which is, it is time to die, but it's time to let the old, artificial, attached to all this stuff go. And yet,
perfect.
That feels like death. And it's like, yes, it is. Good, go. You know,
exactly.
Yeah,
stop trying to avoid death.
You know,
death.
You will never believe how good it can get, you know. So yeah, I mean,
right.
I always say that our best, if we could truly listen to the messages coming from ourselves, like, and know what they mean, you would really make a lot more progress, where our misery gets projected outward. And, you know, I always loved when the turning point with your car mechanic was, you weren't really interested in what it was about him, the situation. It was what was, when you said, I really want to know what this is for me. And that's when it changed. That's when it changed.
Absolutely.
You know, so, so how are we doing on the vowel thing? Anyone want to call?
Well, we have two callers. Luriel is still with us.
Okay.
And 407, I'm not. I think I might know who that is. I'm not sure. But if you guys want to share the vowel, 646-929-2084, and then press 1, because that'll let me know to take you off of mute.
Right.
So indeed, because we have another an hour and 10 minutes, and I would love to for you guys to get some vows out there. It's really fabulous. You do the vow tonight, and then you listen, like 6 months or even a year, when we do our next show, and you listen to what you said a year ago, and it's so telltelling for who you are and who you want to be, and again, it's so funny because one of the things that I've gotten so clearly lately, and I definitely acknowledge the energy that we're in, excuse me, to help me see this, is the ability to be fluid.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you that my belief system on almost a daily basis is going through tweaks and fine tunings and, I'm dropping some belief systems and I'm picking up other belief systems. It's like, and here's the irony, but it's something that I am able to do. When I am able to commit to a belief I have 100% and live and speak of it as if it is the absolute truth forevermore. But truly, if in the next moment evidence arises or something arises, a clarity or an awareness, and that goes, you know what, that truth is actually incorrect. You know, the new truth is, whatever the shift in my perception is, without any shame or without any guilt.
Yeah.
And I really highly recommend that many of the people I know are afraid to make a choice because they're afraid they're going to make the wrong choice. And here's the amazing thing of how the universe, one of the amazing things of how the universe works. When you make a choice and start focusing energy on that choice, whether that choice is good or bad is so irrelevant in the point that once you make that choice, it's going to highlight the opposite. Because that's the nature of polarity. So what you really get to see is both sides of that choice. And in seeing both sides, you now have a whole picture that you could actually take a piece from one choice, a piece from the choice not taken, and reinvent the choice into a totally new alchemized choice. We have a caller, so I'm going to bring him on.
Sure.
Okay, area code 905, you're on.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, it's Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
So funny, I didn't. Hey, sweetie. Oh, okay. The phone lines are calling, and we've got callers. Okay, I'm excited.
All right.
I'm excited.
Put me on the side.
Hello.
No, not at all. Of course not. No. Please share your intention or your vow.
Well, you have other people on the line.
We want to hear you.
No, you're on right now, Punky. Come on now. Come on.
Well, just my vows, intentions, or whatever, for 2013 is just being authentic, holding integrity, and being true to myself.
Okay, that's beautiful.
And that's important.
And what?
Well, I think that's important, to do.
I agree.
Yeah, you were just writing that in the chat room.
Oh, yeah. Was it? Okay, right on.
Walk in the talk. I saw you write that,
Yeah, I think that's a powerful intention. Huh?
It's been mentioned to me many times before that, I walk or I talk this talk, and apparently I don't walk it, and I'm very arrogant in my words. Yet, I got to step back from that and really think. I actually really don't need to think about it too much. Because I, you know, within myself, I know I walk my talk. People don't understand me, and that's fine.
Okay,
you know, for
I agree.
The most part, I don't expect them to. Yeah, when it, you know, when I speak words or whatnot, you know, there's a misunderstanding or not clarification, you know, with my expressions, and you know, I understand that, I appreciate that, that's okay. But as long for me, Janine, and
yeah.
Julie, thank you for taking my call. For me, I'm comfortable with the words I speak and the life that I live. And, you know, this is, you know, this is my knowing within myself. And, you know, it's different for all of us. And, you know, just for us to be able to share together is huge. And just to be open enough to share that with others is huge on itself. And so, yeah, that's those are my vows.
Yeah, I like the confidence of I'm comfortable with the life I live. I liked that. I said something like tonight. I said I was impressed with my process and Goldie's. Like, to be that self-assured or and I called it a subtle calm confidence, and that seems to be coming up tonight where we're able to show a certain confidence in the way we're living our life, and that, you know, there's no apologies, and I like that.
Exactly.
You know,
right on.
Yeah,
right.
I
on.
Like so. Yeah.
Well, Dennis,
well,
we have other callers. I do
thank
appreciate
you,
you sharing. Thank you. And I'm just going to put you on hold. If you want to, you can listen or stay in the chat room. It's, you know, it's
I'll
all good.
I'll be quiet.
All right.
Okay.
I'll be quiet.
All right, Dennis. Love you. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. And now we have area code 541. You're on the air live.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear
Hi.
Me?
Yes. Yeah.
Hi, it's Trisha.
Hi.
Oh, Trisha.
Trisha and Sylvan
hey,
will talk after. Sylvan will talk after me.
Okay, absolutely, love. Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. Well, I've been going
I'm just
through.
I'm so excited. I'm beaming. Sorry.
Well, I've been going through a little stage fright here, you know, and even just writing the vows. So, but I'm just gonna plow ahead.
That's
so what I wrote, I'm thinking of how I've lived and how most of my life I've given myself away to other people. And I'm aware completely of all their needs, but I don't pay attention to my own, you know, or I don't get to know myself. I know everybody else, but I don't know me. And so my desire now is not only to get to know myself, but to treat myself like my best friend. Mm-hmm. And my intention is to get better at paying attention to my own wants and desires and to treat myself at least as good as I've ever treated anyone else. To my inner child, my little girl, I vow to do my best to be there for you, to hear you, to support you, to play and laugh with you, as well as to acknowledge and share your pain. This will be the best year of our lives.
Mm.
With love, Trisha Annie.
Oh, Trisha, I'm crying. I love that. Thank you. That really, I feel you. I feel
yeah, me
you.
Too. Me too.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. Beautiful.
Someone said, just do it from the heart, and I guess I found it.
Yeah,
you
no,
do.
You
can,
so
it's
great.
Felt. Yeah. Yeah.
So great.
I'm
so
wrapping
clear.
You right now. Yeah.
So great and so clear. It, your intention was really clear. So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's when you know you're ready. That's
yeah.
when
yeah.
you know you're ready. Because, and now what I invite you to watch when you'll see a choice
uh-huh.
will come into you where you're going to see the old response as before you even make it, it'll be in your brain going, okay, this is what I do, but then you'll have this pause. It's
yeah.
just a pause that's the opportunity choose differently.
Right.
Because the intention brings the awareness. The courage brings the behavior to be something. You have to respond differently. And that takes courage because your mind is going to tell you all sorts of things. Don't do it. Don't do it. They're not going to love you. Don't do it. You won't be accepted. Don't blah, 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 blah. But through the intention, you'll say, no, I'm ready. I'm ready to make this choice. And the people that fall away because you're no longer serving them, but you're serving self, I promise you that the vacuum will be filled with other independent and interdependent people that totally support the soulful way of expressing ourselves.
Right.
Totally.
Right.
Beautiful.
Well,
beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, Tricia. You're so beautiful. Thank you.
I'm so glad
you're a part of this show. I am. You and Sylvan. I mean, it's the beloved audience. We have a beloved audience here. It's outstanding, and I'm touched. You talk.
I think also what struck me is your acknowledgement of the inner child and the little girl, and that's when I felt this real well of emotion. And you know, that's so what a great recognition. And I guess tonight I'm really focused on anything that we recognize is really forever becomes dominant in your life. So the caretaking for the inner child and the little girl is you know already underway. It's already occurred. So it's good news. It's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. I'm going to hand the phone to Sylvan now.
Okay.
Bye.
We love you. Bye.
Hi, Goldie.
Hey, sweetheart. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. I don't know if
Hi
you
there.
Remember. I called last year.
I remember. He called last year.
Oh, you called last year. I do remember that. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I wrote a vow and everything.
Yeah, right on.
So, thanks for, doing back the same show and allowing people to, voice their intentions.
Yeah.
Right on.
Great.
God, I feel you already. You haven't spoken a word. I can feel you, Sylvan. I can feel you. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't actually write any vow because I thought, well, it's like I'm entering a phase of just, flowing more, I guess, not trying to plan everything. Not that there's anything wrong with doing plans, but, I've done too much of that, so I need to do the other side to rebalance myself.
Right on. Absolutely. Okay. Okay.
And,
you want to share something, from the hip?
Well, I thought I could just wing it, and that's...
Of course.
That's part of flying free with your wings. You wing it.
Yeah, that's good.
Well,
we're ready for the wing.
Yeah, fly. That's all I've been writing on Facebook. Fly, everyone.
Well, I don't want to make it too complex. Basically just, I wish for myself and everyone to just enter, a new phase where they actually listen. We actually listen to ourselves and realize that we've put a lot of ourselves or our aspects asleep because we didn't want to, face certain things. But, let's not take that as a bad thing because we wanted to dream. We wanted to face, parts of ourselves that aren't our true selves. And now we're entering a phase where we can face our true selves. So, let's realize that there's so much honesty that we owe ourselves. So let's be honest with ourselves and just listen to who we truly are.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Really beautiful. So then I could feel you. You're amazing. And just so you know, your presence is affecting. It's affecting everybody. Really.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's clear to me you've been doing the work. It's clear to, because for whatever reason, the empathic in me can feel it. For, you know, both you and Tricia, I can feel you guys. You know, because it's such a. You know, I can remember saying when I was a kid, not a kid, more in my 20s and early 30s, boy, if I could just get acknowledged for some of the conscious work I'm doing. because I've been working on myself my whole life. And in the energy that we're in right now, I swear it's like the people that have done the work, it's like the energy... I have this visual where it's just blowing us up into like it's blossoming our flowers, you know. And it's not that everybody's flower won't blossom, but when you look into the field, it really is the first flowers opened are the ones that were doing the work, even in the densest when we were on the outside part of the Milky Way galaxy. I mean, we're in the center, but we were doing it even when. You really couldn't see the purple particles that are helping us along now. We were doing it because our souls were inside of us going, do it. we don't know what else to do. We're just doing it.
Well, we're the way showers.
Mm-hmm.
We're
the
way showers. And we wouldn't have been able to do it without other people either. So, you know, it's an agreement, I think, that we made just, you know, if you can help us, we want to do it. We want to show you, you know, the cutting edge. We want to bloom, and then you can follow us, you know. And it's we couldn't have done it without you, without everyone else. So
right on. It's amazing to me, and I love it, because, you know, what we've wished for everybody else, including ourselves, will be experiencing, simply because we've prepared ourselves to experience it. You know, it's so funny how I've noticed. For me personally, one of the biggest blocks in most of the people that I see is pride. You know, an inability to accept that they have a shadow side. They can accept that the world is a dark place, but the minute you ask somebody to say, well, but that's you. No, it's not. I'm a good person. I don't lie. Whatever their knee-jerk response is. And it's like they don't even realize that pride is the prison that keeps humility, which is the absolute, it's the wind beneath our wings. Right. Humility is what, the soul knows humility because it knows both sides are valuable. It's not just the quote-unquote good, it's not just the saints that are valuable. You know, if you look at most good stories and most, like, honest truths, when you want a job done, you go to the sinners to get it done. You don't go to the saints. You go to the sinners. And that's
true.
That's not a coincidence, because if you I have this gut feeling that when the earth shakes, and I mean this literally as well as figuratively within consciousness, when everything starts falling down and collapsing, the ones that will be left standing are the sinners who became saints because they accepted that they were sinners.
Mm. So it's like a balance between both, really.
Exactly. Mm. It's exactly what it is. Because it's a dualistic experience. We cannot eliminate one side. You can't. It's impossible. We exist here. Therefore, we must have a dark side and we must have a light side.
Well,
and the irony
beyond
of
it,
all
right?
of it is... Pardon?
I said we're also beyond the duality, aren't we?
Well, of course, and I was going to say, and the irony is most of the darkness is actually hiding in the light, you know, like most of the manipulation. So, but you're absolutely right. When we integrate both our sinner and saint, our light and our dark, our good and our bad, when we integrate that, it alchemizes into something completely beyond the two separateness of light and dark.
Right.
And we become a radiance that is, it's illuminating. It's not light. It's illuminating.
Mm-hmm.
And the dark is not shadow. It's the depth of the illumination. You know, it couldn't be without both. It could not be.
Can I say something about that?
Of course.
Just, you know, from a big lesson that I had to learn this year, it's that, you know, you can't just try to be, you know, humble. You can't just try to, you know, it's like if you... It can kind of like tie into the positive light thing again. If you just, you know, oh, I got to be humble, I got to be this, and you know, if I can just share that lesson with everyone, it's like you can't force it. You have to you have to let yourself go through the experiences that you will, and you know, your natural feelings that you're gonna be honest about, they're gonna take you there. So, you know, don't worry about being all that. You can get there your in your own way, your own path.
Right. Right on. That's a brilliant share. Janine comments on it. That's a brilliant share, Sylvan. That is.
Thanks.
You know, that's like the natural process rather than the, you know, the artificial trying, reading, you know, this is how you do it. If you just experience life, and I mean, that's how I've learned my greatest, you know, lessons and wisdoms, and finding where I am right now is just by, not because, you know, I tried. It was like, I did throw myself into the experience, not knowing how I'd come, you know, how it would play out or come out. So that in itself was my greatest teacher. But it wasn't like I went in saying, and you know, I'm going to be with humility, and I'm going to be, you know, with these things. They come out of experience. That's how I find it, and that's when you notice these changes in yourself in the natural way. That's when you know that they're here to stay. It's not just a, you know, false, like, oh, look how good I'm doing. You know, it's not like that at all. So
yeah, and then a car cuts you off, and you're losing the
and then you're raging. Or something,
right. And again, you know, it's not that the trigger is it's not about, we don't talk about stopping the triggers. We talk about every time you trigger, go within. It's something that's telling you that trigger lives in you, and it wants to be integrated. Because I just said to Janine just today that this past week I have been diving into some very dark governmental CIA black ops crap with, you know, things they've done to children, and ironically things that have been happening literally from a location point of view in my own backyard in Connecticut. I mean, literally places that I've known all my life as pedophile rings and MK Ultra hypnotic spaces where, you know, they're torturing kids to reprogram their minds. And one of the things that, you know, I've gotten from exploring this very dark aspect of humanity is how humble I become, how grateful I become that, you know, I really, you know, if I was to meet somebody that, you know, has any kind of, you know, history in this, two things would happen. George Gavassilis actually taught me this. You know, you have tremendous empathy for, like, wow, the journey you have chosen, you know, is just radically, radically courageous. And, you know, and they would probably go, no, I'm not courageous. You know, I was put in a space where I had, you know, no control over myself. And I go, but you're still here. So, you know, on some level, you must be integrating it. And holy shit, you know, I mean, I'm in awe, because one of the things that have made me be so proactive with my own looking at myself is I don't deal with pain well, physical pain. I'd rather work it out emotionally, because my whole key was, if I can work out the emotions, then I've gotten to the energy before it will manifest physically. I vowed to myself early in life when I watched my mother die of cancer that I wasn't going to die of cancer, because I didn't look at myself. I didn't allow myself to feel, because I could see how her resistance to things she had been through ultimately killed her from the inside out. I could see that. And so there's this real humbleness that, you know, there is a darkness that exists on this planet that is, when we're at least willing to look at it, you're not so judgmental about, you know, people's journeys. Like, I can tell you I get frustrated at people, but I'm not frustrated because they have a dark side. I'm frustrated because they don't own their dark side. You know, we all have a dark side. We're all contributing to the planet going to pot. Well, not literally, planet going to shit. You know, we're contributing to all the children that these pedophiles are manipulating. because that's part of being in unity consciousness, everybody taking their role in that. And I don't mean that from a literal point of view as much as, you know, we've manipulated something too. Because if you look at our conditioning, it seems like we're all conditioned to get what we want based on three powers: money, sex, and the power of the mind, which in my humble opinion are all artificial power sources. So, you know, even if we didn't actually, you know, work at a pedophile ring, that doesn't mean we have not contributed to this whole artificial way of living. And if we would just do what is ours to do, if we would just take in the pain and the truth of who we are back into ourselves, it would heal everything. It will heal the pedophile rings. It will heal, and if it doesn't heal the pedophile rings, it'll heal the people that went through it. Why? Because that's the nature of energy. That's how energy works from the unity consciousness. And I've seen it happen within the people of within my own field. As I take in the things I've done, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I have done it all. I have stolen, I have lied, I've cheated, I've mistreated the elderly, my grandmother. I've done terrible things, and I own them. And in that owning them, I can see my father's experience change. I can see Scott's experience change. My good friend Alana, you know, comes to me and goes, you know, when I want to hear, have a conversation with my soul, I come to you to have that conversation. You know, and it's all about being real. Because if we can be real and, like you were saying, compassionate towards ourselves, because we have the compassion, you can see it. We have the compassion with the charities that touch our souls, or the, you know, the Facebook things where, you know, we are compassionate beings. Why can't we be compassionate to ourselves? That's the ultimate compassion. Because once you accept your own darkness, you can accept anybody's darkness.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah. So. That's actually.
I really appreciate you sharing, Sylvan. I do. I didn't. You know. You triggered me. And I get. I'm a paradox. I am because I go into the dark, and I don't make apologies for doing so. But I do that because for me, it's been truly the most authentic way I know myself to show my strength. I stealing candy from a baby doesn't feel strong to me. You know, beating a pool shark at a pool game, that, you know, bring me the best competitor. Because I'm a very competitive person, and I want to win, but I want to beat the best. Because if I can do that, then I can pat myself on the shoulder. So, you know, it's really come to me that the world has shown me, well, if you can take in your own darkness, you can actually heal the world. You know, I'm like, all right, well then. And now that I've done, you know, so many years on my own, you know, I'm now taking in dark things from, you know, the government and things of that nature. And, you know, I get it. It's profoundly dark in these spaces, profoundly dark. And, you know, you should go with knowing when you're ready to go, because it could drive a person insane knowing what's really out there. But again, in the energy we're in, I swear it feels to me that it's like we're all, you know, ready or not, the truth is going to be seen. Ready or not.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sweet. I love you, Sylvan. I love you, Tricia. Thank you so much for being a part of my audience and our audience. Truly.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You're fabulous. Have an amazing, amazing night tonight, and, you know, cheersing and welcoming in 2013 and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thanks. We always really like your show. You know, we always feel like, I don't know, your energy is, maybe we're just more in the same, you know, area of I don't know what's the term, but just, you know, same soul group or same connected place.
Yeah, authentic. Just being authentic. Because have you noticed how much life is afraid to talk about the dark? I mean, have you noticed that? And
of course.
Have you noticed how we're not? It's okay to get dirty. Just like you said, it's okay. It's kind of why we signed up for all this.
Right? So, yeah, thanks for having us, and I'll let you go and talk to other people.
Okay, thank
right
you.
On, sweetheart. Thank
right,
you, guys. We love
Happy
you.
New
thank
Year.
You so much. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very fired up.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes. L'Oreal is still here. She hasn't put up her hand yet. And L'Oreal, no pressure. You listen, you share, whatever feels right. If any of the new people in the chat room, we are receiving vows tonight. People are sharing vows to connect themselves to their souls for the upcoming year of 2013. If you'd like to share on the air, it can be spontaneous. Sylvan wonderfully showed us that, you know, he didn't plan it. He's just kind of going spontaneous. That's totally welcome. You can write something out. The number is 646-929-2084. And then just press 1 so I know that you want to share and you're not just on the phone listening. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that film, Beast of the Southern Wild, was just such a meaningful film to me, first of all, for its quality, but also just that one moment when the little girl, you know, states that she's willing to look at the dog, that was in the flood, and it wasn't very pretty, but that just the willingness to look and be, it was like just facing that reality, because then you're able to see it in yourself. And that is, to me, you know, what you speak about so often. And if you do that, it shifts everything around you and yourself. So,
right.
You know, that's,
right.
Yeah, that's when you touch on those subjects, that's what I hear, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like if you look at a lot of the subjects that I touch on, they're what used to be, you know, these were the family secrets. Right?
Yeah.
The things that were going on behind closed doors. And I'll tell you, intuitively, one of the things that I got from talk shows, starting with Phil Donahue's show, which was the original talk show, you know, going all the way through the spectrum of, you know, who's the crazy guy who did the Jewish guy who used to do the talk show, where they would have fights on stage. Jerry Springer. All the way through to Jerry Springer. One of the things that I clearly saw when I used to watch the Jerry Springer show was he was giving people that I would call people that would probably never have seen, any kind of format where they could voice what was going on in their lives. He gave them a format to voice it. And what they were voicing, which was basically, you know, what I would call middle America conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought it out. It took it so, you know, moms sharing boyfriends with daughters and, you know, you're stealing this one, you're stealing that one. What was, I think, whether people knew it or not, it was an act of soul to have them, to have those be witnessed, because once it's being witnessed, it can no longer be considered unknown. You know, because I remember when people would talk about the abuses, you know, all the abuses going on. Abuse doesn't change as long as we, you know, I mean, there was a time I remember learning when I was in early childhood in college that animals had rights given to them before children did in our government. You know, the
wow.
Animal rights. Isn't that interesting? Animals, I believe, also might have had rights before women, but I'm not positive on that. I know they had rights before before children. And, you know,
yeah.
we used to consider children our property. And I get it that, you know, it's part of the evolution of the human soul, but it is part of the evolution of the human soul. you know, and it's an important part, an important part to acknowledge, because, you know, most people look at the Jerry Springer Show and go, you know, oh my God, you know, what trash and nonsense. It's like, not from the archetypical point of view that, you know, that trash is going on in very wealthy homes in the area I live in. You know, that all this stuff that I'm finding out from these black ops situations are all happening in Fairfield County, and they're happening to Fairfield County children.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like, because it struck me so profoundly that when I was growing up and had real fears and real sadness in life, I mean, there were some really sad things going on right down the road. You know, this stuff has been happening for 70 years at this one college in Fairfield, which is literally like two towns away from me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, from an energetic point of view, I just went, wow, no wonder why I was such a sad kid. And,
yeah,
you know, people look at Fairfield County and go, oh, there's money here and there must be nothing but happiness. And it's like, being a nanny and being inside people's homes, I've experienced the opposite. There's tremendous sadness, tremendous separation, tremendous anxiety. I mean, the woman I was sharing, who had it all, who has it all, the house, the kids, the devoted husband, you know, I know her personally, and she is suicidal. You know, it's like, people think it's that the money would make them happy, but I've been around the money, and trust me, it did not make them happy. What makes people content is knowing themselves, is being connected to their eternal aspects, the soul.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the lesson is that the greatest thing that can happen for yourself, and then obviously society, and is to that which is hidden to be revealed. Because until it is, it, you know, you're stunted. You're half a, you know, half a society, half a person. You know, it's just
right. You're separated.
Right.
That's
so.
True.
So
yes.
You know, I mean, that in itself sounds like a general. It's almost like a wish or a vow for like the evening, along with the recognition of this incredible supportive, you know, to me, the synchronicities that I've noticed more and more and more. I just had such a need to want to acknowledge that, and then another piece tonight for me unfolding on the radio is that there's such an importance for that which is hidden in self, and so that would start with self, but in society,
there it
be
is.
Be revealed, because
there it is.
That is the changer, you know, and it's yeah. So that would be like the vow for every one of us and everybody.
Well, because the truth is, right, you know, there's amazing things going on in our subconscious that this is what my triggers and my whole rant to my friend the other day when I was ranting that, you know, he was unauthentic and he didn't walk his talk. And, you know, it literally helped me see, it's like, Goldie, there's parts of you that are unauthentic. And that's what seeing the parts in him that are unauthentic. But the truth is, it's not my job to go outside of myself and make him be authentic. What ends up being the most efficient way to spend my energy is to say, well, show me the parts that are unauthentic, because if I am unauthentic, I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
And how
yeah.
can I change it if I'm not aware of it?
Yeah, and that's where that absence of pride is really helpful, because pride won't allow you to do that. But when that's not the leading part of you, that's when you can do that, because you know, humility allows that. You know.
Right.
Right. So yeah, it's I don't know why, you know, it's always I'm always curious as to what comes up during our radio show. You know, we start with something and we're doing vows, and you know, but I see that
I see that as it's getting darker out, which is kind of interesting.
It's just
that part of that which is hidden, you know, needs to be revealed and should be revealed. And
Absolutely. Well, especially if it's a part of self, you know, whatever the darkness is, once it's revealed, you're on your way to healing it.
And
the interesting thing about the subconscious is, the subconscious still, you know, David Icke said in his Wembley 10-hour speech or talk or whatever, he said, you know, people say that 90% or 95% of our lives are created from our subconscious. He goes, well, I beg to differ. 100% of our lives are created from our subconscious. It is incredibly, if you want an ally in your life, make friends with your subconscious.
Yeah.
Because that really is the aspect of you that's creating. And to become friends with your subconscious, it takes some undoing, you know, because it's your subconscious. It's this weird paradox of you got to get to know the piece of you that you can't see, hear, taste. You know, it's like, and yet it's what's creating everything for you. So it's like, it's so much a part of you. And yet, you know, because it almost seems like that seems to be what moving the solar system in part in the Milky Way galaxy, that seems to be what's happening, is the compartmentalized ability to have a conscious, a subconscious, a superconscious, those veils seem to be dissolving.
Yeah.
You know, and so of course people are actually becoming more aware of their subconscious, and you know, it's almost like they're frightened of their own self, because maybe the subconscious is running programs that are, you know, fear of success, or, you know, I here's a program I knew that I was running when I was younger, and I changed it consciously even before I knew all this stuff, which was, I saw when I got hurt. I remember I was 7 years old. I'm riding on the handlebars of this boy's bike. He was riding the bike. I was on the handlebars. I fell off the handlebars, and the attention he gave me, because, you know, from the apparent, you know, falling off the handlebars, scraping my knee, I immediately went, ooh, I like this. Like, look, he picks me up, and he asks, and he's showing me attention. And it immediately, I could see, in fact, it was Scott that helped me. I could see myself playing, I would run visuals in my head of me falling down the stairs. So Scott would give me attention.
Come on,
I swear to God. You know, clearly, and I was drinking heavily at the time, but that's beside the point, because the truth is, I also got, well, I got the awareness and went, okay, so what's going to happen? You're going to become a quadriplegic, and he's going to go, sorry, I'm not really interested in you anymore. It's like, oh, shit, that kind of backfired. I'm serious. But these are the conditions that are all twisted and running our subconscious, you know, like, so I had to literally watch myself and go, stop fantasizing about getting hurt. If you want Scott's attention, learn how to give it to yourself.
Yeah.
And Scott definitely gives me more attention now that I don't need it from him. It's like this amazing, like, really? I scratch my head and go, that's such a paradox.
What a great
it
recognition,
is.
Though. But honestly, the great, I just, you know, as far as bringing up the content and the context of something, and you remembering, registering the awareness that you got attention when you hurt yourself, and then and as an adult going through scenarios of, and then that will make someone, you know, it's just, that's incredible to me. I mean, that's the part of, like, admiring of humans that I, you know, you, and it's just, we are amazing creatures. It's just
absolutely
your awareness, just like, that was just like, wow. You know, I'm trying to go back now and remember, you know, the things like, you know, the classic attention getter would be, and this
exactly.
is so fascinating for me, because the classic attention getter is to run away,
Why do you run away? So that they feel bad that they hurt you,
okay,
and now they want
right.
you back. And, you know, and I remember when I was little. Oh, I don't remember. I'm trying to think how old I was. This was such a great story because there's humor in this story. Because I think I was about 7 or 8, and I hid in the linen closet. And I figured they'd eventually think I ran away, and they'd worry, and then it would be, oh, you know, honey. And nobody came to look for me. Eventually, it was like, okay, I guess I'll get out now. I've been in here long enough.
It's like playing hide and go seek and nobody coming to look for you.
Right. So it was really my attention getting running away scenario, hiding in the linen closet, really didn't really work.
Well, but you know what though? Listen, the beauty of that is the fact that it didn't work. You did not take that into your, you did not build a condition around it. I mean, I'm telling you, I built the condition around if I get hurt, I'll mm-hmm. get what, and well, and I shouldn't say, well, no, I did. I mean, I've always had the ability to get attention. But I guess that was kind of, like, see, with Scotty, I couldn't, because Scott's autism, it makes him, he deals with life so differently. You know, so it's not like, he's not driven by his libido. You know, because most of the time I was getting attention through sexuality. And to say that really put me in some real skittish situations is an understatement. I mean,
but Goldie, in my vow, I did finish it with, you know, great elegance and with a great touch of humor. And I have to commend in the chat room, Randy Joy. If I fall, cute boys will come.
Exactly.
It was just really great. It was very funny, and you know,
well,
I did.
Because it's the understanding of it. But I'll tell you, these conditions come to us as children, and then, like I said, the next thing you know, you're in relationships in your 30s, fantasizing about breaking a leg so somebody will. And as funny as you think that is, I saw my mother go through cancer, mm-hmm. 10 years of cancer, and here's a bizarre. She didn't really get the attention from my father to the last year she was alive. But you know who she got it from?
Who?
Her doctors.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was having this, like, romantic experience with her doctors, so she can't get better. Because if she gets better, she doesn't have these weekly or biweekly
that's a pain awareness. No, that's truly a pain awareness because I knew someone who broke a part of their, you know, one of their bones, and then when somebody would care for them or show up with groceries, they go, oh, they do love me, and it struck me.
There it is.
And I really was listening to someone speak and talking about their wife, and she had an ailment, and I somehow just got, you know, like intuitively that this was a way of getting attention, and you know,
exactly.
And it is obviously. I mean, you brought it up, and it is. You know, to me, it's an adorable story, but there's such a truth to it, where there it's a truly keen awareness of how much of what we pull into our lives is a sort of corrupt way of looking for validation and attention. When you know, there are so much less destructive ways of, you know, of doing
absolutely.
Right.
Carolyn Mace says in her self-esteem talk, and you know, this is Carolyn Mace, and I'll paraphrase, it might not be an exact quote,
right,
but she essentially says people that linger in disease are too lazy to do the work.
Yeah, no, and I know
that's
a pretty
Carolyn
bold
Mace.
Statement. It's a bold statement, you know, but sometimes
statement.
It takes a bold statement to sort of get people's attention, you know. It's a, you know, quote, the wake up statement or something. But I like bold, first of all, and I like her.
Like bold as well.
I do
as well. I mean, I quote her because when she says that, I go right on because, you know,
no,
once
it's about
I recognize
time people got bold, Yeah,
it is about time people got bold. Especially since we are just about entering 2013, and I mean this purple energy. What the fact that we're in the center of the galaxy and you can see it, I mean, I can see it. It's here. It's physically in every molecule of oxygen that we're breathing. It's in every tree, every rock, every creature. I think I'm starting to come out in song. there is something in that. Anyways, it becomes clear to me that that this purple energy is the it's the divine assistance that says, if you really do just show a little effort of, instead of energetically making the outside world determine who you are, but make the inside world determine who you are. If you just put just the slightest bit, I feel like the return at this point is so humongous that it'll be a natural that you'll find that there'll be like an OCD behavior that feeds you into your soul. That's why I suggest doing the intentions, because the intentions are like, you know, it's that you're at the starting line, you set the intention, and the beautiful part is, like I said, when you set it on radio, people will hear it, it's archived, and I promise you, everybody that's called in tonight, your intentions, they cannot not come true. Now the key is when the changes start coming into your life, because you're becoming aligned with your soul, can you allow that and remember to yourself, go, oh, that's right, I intended this. Yeah. You know, so you don't feel that you're being punished for this change. You're going through this change because you're ready to be in alignment. It's a beautiful space to hold.
Right. Well, I wrote that in doing this vow or intention, it appears to be a moment, but it will extend beyond perceived boundaries and go on forever, and that it will be amped. And you know, think about it. From the body, you create the intention, which is with your voice, which is a vibration, and it just literally, like in that movie, the movie Contact, where the message goes out and out and out and out, and I'm sure on some wonderful paradox, it goes in and in and in and in.
Of course,
so it's like, right? Exactly. So it's an in and an out, and you're sending a vibration, and it is. It's an incredible, gifted opportunity. I see, even if it's not a vow, it could just to declare or make a statement or
it can be very short and sweet. Absolutely.
Right,
I intend to connect with my soul.
When my
intuition hits, I want to respond to it. I want to hear it. And here's another thing, just so you guys know, that Carolyn May says about intuition. Intuition, most of the time in the beginning of the journey of the awakening, intuition will be asking you to do everything you're afraid to do. It's not the feel-good part of you. It's quite the opposite. It's your intuition is going to invite you to go places you haven't been. Because when we're conditioned to be, you know, artificial beings that are from, you know, non-life-enhancing behaviors, and the intuition is coming from a life-enhancing soul perspective, again, it's going to feel uncomfortable when you first do it. So, you know, I see all the time, follow your intuition because it wants nothing but the best from you. Absolutely. But let's get real. Following your intuition means you're going to be very uncomfortable. You're going to say no to jobs because the fear in your head is going to go, what do you mean you're saying no? You need the money. You got to do the money. And your soul is going to go, no, we just want you to focus on your joy. Focus on your joy, and it's not that the money won't come, but maybe it'll come in a different flavor, like, you know, there'll be some kind of barter, whatever.
Yeah.
See, the soul
yeah.
is not hung up that it just has to be money. The soul wants us to enjoy this and be life-enhancing in our choices, and it's just this bizarre thing that because we've been conditioned to do non-life-enhancing things, it hurts us to become in balance. You know, it's like, I always say, I don't make the rules, but once I learn them, I follow them. And that's what I recommend and invite everybody to do. We have some callers.
And you break the rules, too.
But I do break the rules. I do break the rules because I've learned that the rules aren't always out for my best interest. And all you have to do is look at our governments to know that truth.
Do we have callers?
If you guys, we have callers. If you guys want to share an intention, please press 1. On your phone, because that will indicate to me that you guys want to. I totally honor if you guys just want to listen, but I really encourage you, like Tricia, to garnish some courage. There you go. There you go. Goldie has influenced. Okay, area code 313. You're on the air. Thanks for calling. Hello?
I don't know.
Hello? Okay, maybe it was a mistake. I'll put you back on mute.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Hi. Hi, 313. What's your name?
This is Dwight.
Hey, Dwight. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Yeah, it's my I was on Bluetooth and on mute.
Oh, okay. No worries. Yeah. Do you want to share an intention, a soul intention?
Oh, for the New Year's?
Exactly.
Well, I say get more developed, just get into the spiritual work and stuff. Go as far into this new journey of mine. Just stay committed. Yes.
Okay.
I guess, really, everything is so new to me that I didn't really think about that now that I noticed, you know. I really did, you know. It felt like it actually found me, like, besides me trying to find my attention, it kind of revealed itself, I guess, what I really need. And it goes back to what y'all was talking about. I wanted to add to that, yeah, like this intuition and stuff, and people being afraid of themselves. I was told that, like, for me personally, but I think it applies to everybody, that to be more, allow the higher consciousness to open up more to the higher consciousness. Be more open. And it makes sense when I was told that when you do that, you are opening up to the unknown. So it's like the most, you know, scary thing you can really do because, I mean, that's your higher self. I mean, it knows, you know, every level of your consciousness and everything. And it made so much sense once it was told to me. It basically translated to what you said, that people are afraid of themselves.
Exactly.
You know, once it was told to me, I automatically knew, okay, this is me opening up to all of a sudden having, like, being able to foresee things, see the spiritual, you know, the spiritual side of life, you know, connect with, because I've already seen, like, spirits and stuff when I was younger, but it's a total different, it's like, so different being older and being able to see that type of stuff wouldn't it be normal? All types of other stuff, you know. So it's kind of like we are afraid. We really are afraid of ourselves because the most unknown thing is ourselves, our soul, what we are able to do. You know, people want to astral project and stuff, but that could get kind of, you know, really weird and uncomfortable because you don't ever know what situation you might get into.
Well, and the rules are all different when you're not in body. So
mm-hmm.
I always say if you're going to play a game, you should probably know the rules.
Yeah.
You know, but I hear you. But, you know, some people are just naturally born with the ability to, you know, see multidimensionally even before we were in this, you know, where we are in the, you know, in the Milky Way galaxy today. Because, I mean, me and Janine talk on a daily basis, and we're both having multiple dimensional experiences. I mean, blatant. Like me and Janine, just this week, we were having a conversation, and it was deep. It was, you know, in all honesty, me and Janine don't have anything but deep conversations because that's, we enjoy being, you know, deep in our processes and deep in ourselves. And then, you know, like after 25, 30 minutes of this total enlightening conversation, she goes, "Hey, I just want to thank you." And I'm like, "Yeah, for what?" And she goes, "Oh, because she just kept me company while I did my mom's bills." And I went, "What?" And I swear to God, she was like, she was doing her mother's bills and talking to me about incredible subtle awarenesses of a multidimensional capacity. And I went, "Well, there it is." You know, like her third dimensional aspect was, you know, calculating bills and writing checks, and her literally multidimensional capacity, which in my humble opinion was coming from her fifth dimension, was talking about that perception.
That's amazing.
And it was,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was like, it is. I'm telling you, I was floored. I went, "Janine, whoa, girl."
And I thought it was so funny.
You know, I stand in honor of that.
You know,
hello?
We're here.
No.
We're here.
We're listening.
I thought I got disconnected. You know, they keep on coming up for some reason. Now, this YouTube video I know YouTube videos will, you know, kind of, you know, be random. But this one, I know for sure, caught my attention. Because ever since then, it's like a lot of references going back to it. This is, they call them, well, it's titled, like the new Einstein or something, the next Einstein. This kid, he's like a mathematician, and he's really young. I don't know, like maybe 11 years old in college.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the, you know, very big universities.
Savant kind of. Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, basically Ivory, yeah. Well, he, if you look and see the video, you can give him all these long numbers, and he can recall them, every last one of them, forward and backwards. It could be a year later,
yeah,
and he'd still remember it. And
yeah,
what he said was, it makes it easier for him to do things because of the fourth dimension.
Mm.
Uh-huh. So it's, and that's really big because it proves it. Like if you get a kid to do, you know, have this demonstration and say this. You know what? The title was like autism because he had autism or something.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Yes, yes. Because in my humble opinion, the autistic people of, you know, the quote-unquote, the people who have been labeled by doctors autistic, they're literally just multidimensional beings living consciously on multiple levels ahead of the mass populace. They came here to help ground the energy of being multidimensional. That's, you know, and I'm not saying there aren't challenges to that, but to diagnose it, you know, I also, autism, bipolar, schizophrenia, all of these are really, in my humble opinion, diagnoses to make us think they're negative traits about a being, when in all honesty, they're evolutionary traits about the human species. They're ahead of our time. Down syndrome, all of these aspects where you can clearly see that they see the world. I mean, you can't see through somebody else's eyes per se, but, you know, my boyfriend is autistic, and just by being around him, I see how he processes life differently than me, and you know, it's just very interesting because I find that the people I resonate the most with, the term I use, are the little yellow bus people. You know, because the people who have something going on in their brains that they're not part of the sheeple, who go to work 9 to 5, make their money, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, you know, go to sleep, go to work, you know, that whole get on the hamster wheel and feed the machine. The people
wheel.
Who are... Yeah, they're all little yellow bus people. You know,
it's like he's trying to function in an environment. It's trying to function in an environment that's not fitted for them, or trying to adapt.
That's exactly right.
I think it's cool what y'all are doing. I love Blog Talk Radio. I guess my intentions for 2013 will be connecting more with just staying connected with spiritual people, or you know, more developed people, and hoping to, you know, the direction we're going in.
Mm.
Yeah, the subconscious, like y'all said, creates the world we live in, and our sub. It's this. I wanted to say, it's this guy named Ernest L. Norman, who wrote some books 60 years ago, around 60 years ago, and through his books, he touched on every subject, and it bounces around. But one of his main subjects he talks about is this the astral body, the energy kind of body, and
mm-hmm.
that everything on the surface is a symptom of the spiritual, or you know, spiritual aspects, and that our subconscious is actually the structure of our past times of life. And so all these symptoms like bipolar, schizophrenic, this is like a symptom of like how we develop spiritually, and some things that might have gone wrong or doesn't function properly.
Yeah.
It just don't flow in this hamster world. He actually defined, like said, like from the perspective they look at, seeing this world is like a hamster wheel. Constantly
it's like
going
a what?
Around and around. A hamster wheel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, a hamster
yeah.
wheel.
Yeah. Definitely. I just want to make an announcement. Listen, if any of the callers that are holding want to do an intention, we will continue the show after 6 o'clock. The stream will end, but it will be in the archives. So if you want to do an intention, even though we only have 4 minutes left of the show, please don't hesitate to hit your number one on your telephone, and we'll make it happen. So I just want people to know that. So, okay.
And I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed the caller now. I loved the tone of the of him and his conversation.
What's your name again, caller? What's your name? I want to know.
Dwight.
Yeah.
Dwight, I
want you to know that we normally air at 8 o'clock on Monday nights. I would love for you to be a part of our journey. You know, calling in, sharing what you want to share. Because one of our intentions for 2013, too, is to get the audience to come in and share more on the show. Me and Janine are welcoming and inviting the audience. And it's not that we don't have plenty to say, because God knows we do. But we would also like it to be interactive, you know, where people share their stories or share a concern, or, you know, if you ever wanted to, like, you know, hey, you know, I got some kind of bug in me. Can I share it with you and tell me what your views are on it, or anything, you know, it could be any kind of share. And you're striking me as somebody that I want to intentionally say, I hope you join us again. You know,
yeah,
Monday night. But we did the show early today because of the holiday, and next Monday we'll go back to our 8 o'clock schedule. So I hope we stay in contact with each other.
Yes, that's wonderful. I actually had that feeling too.
Share your show. Go ahead, promote your show. Go ahead. I'm down with that.
I don't have a show. I don't know. Someone told me I should have probably keep, you know, things at a certain pace this year, and it made more sense because I think the way, you know, I'm just starting on my journey, and I think people notice, it's been mentioned, like, when you do that, all of a sudden you start, you know, you start buying all types of stuff and going out, doing everything. I literally feel like I just want to just dive in and do everything. So I don't have a show, but eventually I'm going to do some certain things like YouTube and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, there you
but
said it on air. You said it
there
on air.
There you go,
so.
Exactly.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. That's a great thing. And you're welcome to share some, you know, insight or anything you want on our show. That is an open invitation to you, Dwight.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
A lot. I would definitely
no problem.
Like come out, you know, I like absorb all this information. I can't imagine in the next year how much more information I get. It would be impossible not to, like, you know, give it out more. So thanks a
lot.
Yeah,
one day at a time. One day at a time. You'll know what to do with it in the day that it's happening. I agree. We're going to morph into something we have never been. So we might not be able to do this in the future. Like, we might not be able to visualize it in a future. But if we just live presently in the moment, we'll know exactly what to be, do, have, what choices to make, what different choices to make. You know, whatever it is, we'll know it in that moment. And we will become a new species of human beings, because that's what all the prophecies from all the Aborigines and everybody is saying, that, you know, it's clear we can't continue living the way we are, because we would kill ourselves. And, you know, I've seen it from the point of view of the bald eagles in America. The bald eagles were taken so close to extinction. And, you know, ironically, of course, they're the symbol of America. And yet they came back. And they're now a thriving species. They've left the list that says that they're endangered. And I swear there's something about that being symbolic of America that I just, it's like the Lord of the Rings. I go, that's our journey. We will go to the brink of our own extinction, and then we'll make a shift, and then we'll take ourselves off, you know, the endangered species list.
Mm, I like that goal. Mm. That's very good. I do.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
No, all right. we got to end the show. No, nobody
okay.
else wants to, you know, is looking to make their announcements. Dwight,
all
thank
right.
you again for calling.
Thank you, Dwight.
I hope you follow us and come and visit often, because you're fabulous. We enjoy talking to you.
Cool. It's been a pleasure.
No, right on. And Janine, make sure
yes.
People know where to get the book and where to contact you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, my new book is called The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, and I have a website, jlkimmel.com, or The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle has a Facebook page, and you can always find, I have a Facebook page too, and you can find me if you just look at Goldie's Friends, yeah, it's been great, and I enjoyed the callers. Thank you so much, and thank you, Goldie.
Oh, my
for your heart and genius.
Oh, I love you, sweetheart. Thank you, everybody who shared. Thank you, everybody who shared in the chat room, who joined us tonight. We are in for one amazing ride, and it's the ride of life. And
yeah.
I couldn't be more excited. I'm super, super excited. We got a new song. You know, we've got our intentions. We're in a new spot in the Milky Way galaxy. You know, if that's not enough to make you excited, I don't know what is. So please tune in every Monday night, 8 o'clock. And you can find me on Facebook. AnotherRealityShow.com is my website. And I love you all. Luriel, thank you so much for your presence tonight. Calling in was not the point. You being here from Denmark,
yeah.
That is the point. Kevin, Susan, Art, Dennis, Amazing Thunder, Kimberly, all of you guys, Dwight, thank you, everybody. It's an amazing, amazing crossroads that we're at. And I can't wait for all of us, you know, to make our choices and then turn around and share them with everybody how truly amazing the choices that we made are.
Mm.
So I love you all. Janine, I'm going to play the song, if it's okay, one more time going out.
Sure, sure.
Okay. Okay,
great.
So I'm going to play...
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I'm going to play Zach's song one more time for those of you who didn't hear it in the beginning. And, you know, enjoy this beautiful music, and happy, happy holidays, everybody. Talk to everybody in 2013. Bye.
Bye.
5, 4, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff.
There's no day or night, oh what a sight.